Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
With the main evening news here on Highland Radio, I'm Ryan Brawley. A look at the headlines. Gardaí and emergency services are at the scene of a road traffic incident which occurred at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, shortly after 1 p.m. The head of the Banking and Payments Federation of Ireland has told a meeting of Donegal County Council's Defective Blocks Committee that banks have a duty of care to their customers. Government ministers have been criticised for failing to repay money owed to revenue, and police in Derry have now made three arrests as part of investigations into a serious assault on a man on the 29th of August 2025. These stories in full and more coming up, and Mark Gallagher will be here for a sports update at around 5:45. But first, Gardaí and emergency services are at the scene of a road traffic incident which occurred at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, shortly after 1 p.m. As a result, Lower Main Street has been closed to traffic following and is likely to remain closed for a number of hours. Diversions are in place at Oliver Plunkett Road and Old Town Road. There are no further details. The head of the Banking and Payments Federation of Ireland has told a meeting of Donegal County Council's Defective Blocks Committee that banks have a duty of care to their customers, and one of those is not to lend money to people who don't have the capacity to repay. Brian Hayes said that is why a working group is working at a national level to identify funding streams and early payment options to allow more people to come onto the remediation scheme. On the IS 465 standard, he said it is critical that amendments currently being considered by the National Standards Authority of Ireland are such that issues affecting mortgageability and saleability are addressed. Mr. Hayes told Highland Radio News it is vital the market can start to move again.
Probably the critical issue for everyone is the NSAI IS 465, which has now is being considered by the National Standards Agency. We need to get certainty and guarantees within that. I think that will be critical in terms of how we go forward, not just for homeowners who are going through this horrendous situation, but also for the industries from our side, on the banking side especially as well. And ultimately, you need people to buy these homes into the future. A market only exists if there are sellers and buyers for any different commodity that is there. And until we get some certainty on that and we get the market moving and we get more people through the scheme with a good outcome at the end, that's really the objective for this year, to get real pace into the scheme and ultimately to fix parts of the scheme that may be needed to be fixed. And the government has responded on different parts of the scheme in the past. This is the scheme that's there, and I think there's a collective responsibility in all of us to try to make it work. The number one priority from a banking perspective, as I said at the meeting, is around remediation of people's homes. Not people should be concerned about bank balance sheets or what's going to happen into the future. What's really important is we get people back into their homes and that we get confidence through the process of the IS 465. We're working with different players, different stakeholders, to see what we can do to help in that process. And I did make the point in my remarks to the council itself that, you know, the banks have absolute commitments to duty of care to people as we work our way through this. You know, we've close to 200 people who work in the main pillar banks in County Donegal with 22 branches. They're real people living in real communities. Many of them may well be affected by this problem themselves. This is an issue of importance to very senior executives and to boards of banks across the country. It's our market. It's our country. We have a responsibility to deliver for people. And as we work our way through solutions for people, hope we can do that.
Government ministers have been criticised for failing to repay money owed to revenue. 10 current ministers have yet to refund the state for money they repaid due to a clerical error. 39 former ministers were also impacted, with 17 of those yet to make the repayments. Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty says 7 months on from the revelations, the figures are not acceptable.
And these aren't trivial sums, Minister. We're not talking about small numbers here. We're talking about amounts of up to €30,000 that are owed by individual current ministers. And still, they couldn't be bothered to pay back even one red cent. And these are the same ministers that decided the recent budget, a budget that left ordinary working people worse off in the middle of a cost of living crisis.
Enterprise Minister Peter Burke said some ministers have repaid what was owed, while others have yet to do so.
In relation to the ministers who currently attend the Jew site that currently have not concluded the pay agreement in terms of repaying monies that was owed, a number of clarifications have been sought in relation to the calculations that were brought forward. And I absolutely know that everyone has the right to ensure that they are paying the correct amount, and every single minister wants to ensure that they are doing that, and that is very important.
Police in Derry have now made three arrests as part of an investigation into a serious assault on a man in the city on the 29th of August 2025. At the time, a report came from the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service that a man sustained injuries in the Waterloo Street area. Following attendance at hospital, it was established he had severe facial and back injuries. After speaking with the victims and witnesses, it was alleged the man had been set upon by a group of masked men. Cliona O'Dwyer reports.
A 44-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of assault occasioning actual bodily harm during a planned arrest and search operation in the city today and remains in police custody at this time. This follows the arrest of two men aged 34 and 45 years old on the 5th of November last year. They were arrested on suspicion of assault occasioning actual bodily harm. Both were released on bail to allow for further police inquiries to be conducted. The PSNI says the operation carried out today was linked to Inale criminality, and to date, a number of items have been seized.
People are misjudging and misconceiving immigration statistics here, according to a new study. Data from the Economic and Social Research Institute finds most citizens believe more than a quarter of the population were born abroad, which isn't true. Head of the ESRI's Behavioural Research Unit, Pete Lunn, says on average those surveyed were wrong about where migrants are coming from.
When it comes to people who are born outside of Europe, the UK and North America, the official figure would say that in Ireland that's about 8% of our population, but it's perceived to be 14, so that's almost twice as high.
Donegal County Council has confirmed that the Old Town Bridge Junction in Letterkenny and the Old Town Junction to Lismonahan Road are numbers 1 and 2 respectively on the large-scale low-cost accident priority list for the Letterkenny-Milford Municipal District. The need for safety works was raised this week by Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly, who told an MD meeting that the council explore every funding avenue to support necessary road safety work. The council is now preparing a study which looks at the options and recommended the optimal arrangements be implemented. Councillor Kelly says this is very important.
This is an area that I've raised on numerous occasions. There's speeding issues there. There's traffic issues, there's pedestrian issues, there's no footpath coming on there from this morning, connecting into the Old Town Bridge. And listen, I had the engineer out before looking at the Met residents on the ground. And to be fair to our engineer, David at the time, he did give me a commitment that he would look into it. Now, he did put an application forward at the time, and that application wasn't successful. But I'm glad here to hear the day that that these are prioritised now, number one and number two, going forward. Because, listen, we had an incident there, Donald, just before Christmas where a young lady was knocked down. That's something we'd want to see, and I personally don't want to see happening going forward. And, you know, I wish that young lady well. I do believe she made a full recovery, but it's important that this is addressed. I mean, the Hideout Junction at the minute, it's a free-for-all, Donald. And, you know, every car that's taking it, they're taking their life in their own hands. We need a yellow box there. We need a raised pedestrian crossing. I think it would actually act as a speed ramp as well between the bridge and Lismonahan Junction, which would also help slow down traffic there as well. And I think we need a footpath on the opposite side of the road to the Old Town Bar, connecting the Old Town Bridge right up to Lismonahan. And, you know, listen, I suppose I've been preaching for long enough about the active travel, Donald, here in the town. And, you know, this is the areas I always maintain that we should be starting in.
Letterkenny Municipal District has also been told there is currently no funding available for an accessibility audit in Letterkenny. Officials are responding to a call from Councillor Jimmy Kavanagh, who says as a town with a population of over 5,000, Letterkenny is required to develop an accessibility strategy with an audit regarded as a fundamental part of the process. He says the council should contact the government to seek funding for an audit and start working on a strategy as soon as possible.
There's a new strategy there, taking us up to 2030, as a national strategy. The local authorities have a big, big role to play in that, and not least in terms of accessibility. And that's from us. There's a recommendation that every town with a population over 5,000 have an accessibility audit done. And I'm asking the council that we do that now, and that we cost that, and that we try and put a budget then together for it and see how much work we can get done during the lifetime of this council. I would emphasise, Donal, that Letterkenny and Donegal is by far from being the worst in terms of this. You know, there's been good work done. We've done an audit previously of all the footpaths and all the parking spots and all that. We've made good progress, but there's a lot more to do. And this strategy, I think, is going to force us to look at all this anyway. So I think we should just get ahead of the curve and start doing it.
Would it be fair to say that towns that have a strategy in place, towns that have an audit done, towns that have their ducks in a row, are more likely to get funding for projects into the future than towns which don't?
Yeah, absolutely, Donal, and that's what I'm hoping that we can do from this, that we can cost it all and be in a position to look for funding as it becomes available, and as well and start including it in our own council budget, that we try and achieve so much every year. This is something that we can lead on in Donegal and in Letterkenny, and I hope that we can do that, and I hope that that can start today.
A murder investigation is underway following the death of a man in County Derry. Police say Wayne Reid, who was 43, was pronounced dead at an address in the Society Court area in Coleraine. A 33-year-old man is being questioned on suspicion of murder. Sinn Féin councillor Niamh Archibald says it's a tragic event.
I'm saddened to learn that the police are treating the death of Wayne Reid as murder. I want to extend my sympathies to his family and friends at this sad time. I know that there is a great deal of shock and sadness in our community this morning with the news, and I would make an appeal for anyone with information that could assist the investigation to bring it forward to the police.
There were more burglary cases than offenders within the first 9 months of last year. That's according to figures from the Irish Court Services provided to an MEP, which reveals many of those were repeat offenders. Dublin saw 622 people come before the courts in that time, while Cork saw 95 and Limerick saw 83. There was also 35 people before the Letterkenny and Donegal District Courts. South MEP and former barrister Cynthia Niwarku says people should have harsher punishments for multiple offences.
What I'm saying is, if we have to increase the number of nights that a repeat offender has to spend on a mattress, I do think that will have to be considered, because I'm for the victims of crime. I'm for the people who are repeatedly burgled and they don't want to have to face the temporary release person who is out on bail or who is out because there isn't a space, and they're back in the same kitchen. Right. They're back in the same bedroom.
Donegal is expected to see a 6% rise in new vacancies and job openings during 2026. That is according to a new report from FRS Recruitment. With more, here's Tom Douglas.
The prediction comes after a 17% decline nationwide in advertised job vacancies in 2025. Despite this, FRS Recruitment have said they witnessed a strong rebound in the final quarter of last year, which they expect to continue throughout the year in Donegal. Lynn McCormack, General Manager of FRS Recruitment, said despite difficulties faced by my employers in Donegal last year, recruiters anticipate a market rebound. She added, with the tariff agreement now in place, there is much more trading certainty for businesses, and I would expect to see a rebound in the jobs market.
It is 17 minutes to 6 here in Highland Radio, and Mark Gallagher will be here with a sports update after these.
In Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to start your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It is 14 minutes to 6 here in Highland Radio, and Mark Gallagher is at the sports desk.
Thanks, Ryan. Good evening. We'll start with golf. Rory McIlroy is the overnight leader at the Dubai Invitational after opening with a 5-under par round of 66 at Creek Resort. The Masters champion has a 1-stroke lead with two golfers just behind him on 4-under par. Shane Lowry is 2-under after his opening round. The Offaly man had two bogeys in his last four holes. After his round with McIlroy, Lowry admitted McIlroy's success last year has motivated him for 2026.
I'm very fortunate to have Rory as a good friend, and you see what he's achieved, and obviously I know I'm not stupid enough to think I'm going to win a Grand Slam or anything, but I look at him and he's a great kind of person for me to reach towards, and I always say if I can get even close to him and in every tournament and then play well coming in, I can have a chance to win. So yeah, like the people around you, I'm a firm believer the people you surround yourself with, you kind of become.
Padraig Harrington signed for a 1-over round of 72, while Tom McKibben carded 74 for 3-over. In Gaelic games, Donegal defeated Derry 118 to 116 in their Dr McKenna Cup semi-final clash at Celtic Park yesterday evening. Monaghan defeated Tyrone by the same margin in the other semi-final to set up a final meeting on Saturday evening. Donegal boss Jim McGuinness says he will continue to use the competition as preparation for the Division 1 league opener next Saturday against Dublin in Croke Park.
The messaging is exactly the same. You know, you want to just rotate your squad, give people, you know, as many minutes as possible now, be smart with that, keep on developing the squad depth and just listen, if we get the right result, we do, and if we don't, we'll just move on from that and get ready for Dublin.
That final against Monaghan will take place at Healy Park in Omagh at 5 o'clock on Saturday evening. Moving on to soccer, Ireland under-17s international Adi Solanke has signed for English Premier League side Bournemouth. The 18-year-old left-back makes the move from their partner club Lorient after a year in France. Solanke impressed at the FIFA under-17 World Cup in Qatar last year, where he played alongside Finn Harps youngsters Gavin McAteer, Josh Cullen and Corey Sheridan. Liverpool defender Andy Robertson says his future remains unclear with 5 months left on his contract at Anfield. The Scottish captain arrived at the club in 2017 and has won 2 Premier League titles as well as the Champions League and FA Cup. Robertson says he needs to see what his options are before making the best decision for his family. West Ham manager Nuno Espirito Santo says the club must solve the Lucas Paquetá situation as soon as possible. The Brazilian playmaker is pushing for a return to his homeland and has been strongly linked with a move to Flamengo. With West Ham sitting in the Premier League's relegation zone, Nuno insists the club can't afford to lose key players at such a critical stage of the season.
I think it's a situation that we have to solve. All of us at the club have to solve. We always want our best players to be involved, and Lucas is one of our best players, so let's try to solve the situation.
Ajax say they will refund their travelling fans after a Troy Parrott-inspired AZ Alkmaar dumped them out of the Dutch Cup last night. The Republic of Ireland striker scored a hat-trick in a 6-0 win at home to the Amsterdam club. In athletics, Mark English clocked a new Irish indoor 600-metre record yesterday evening at the track and field live event at the National Indoor Arena. The Finn Valley athlete came home in a time of 1 minute 15.8, bettering his previous best of 1 minute 16.64 he set in 2024. And finally, in tennis, women's world number one Aryna Sabalenka could face Emma Raducanu in the third round of the Australian Open following today's draw. Venus Williams is set to become the oldest woman to ever play in the main draw of the Melbourne Grand Slam. The 45-year-old has been handed a wild card and has a potential second round meeting with third seed Coco Gauff. In the men's draw, Yannick Sinner will begin his title defence against Hugo Gaston of France. The second seed is on the same side of the draw as Novak Djokovic. Top seed Carlos Alcaraz has been drawn against Australia's Adam Walton in the opening round. That is all your sport for this evening. Your next sports update will be during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Back to you, Ryan.
Thanks, Mark. And the weather, it will be mostly dry this evening with clear spells, but some heavy showers will affect western coastal areas. Southerly winds will be light to moderate. Tonight will bring long dry spells and some well-scattered showers. Frost will set in where skies remain clear, mist and fog patches also. Lowest temperatures of minus 1 to 2 degrees in light to moderate southeasterly winds. Any frost or fog will clear tomorrow morning and the rest of the day will see sunny spells and scattered showers. Some of the showers will be heavy with hail and thunder possible. Highest temperatures of 5 to 8 degrees in light to moderate southeasterly breezes. A look back at this evening's main stories. Gardaí and emergency services are at the scene of a road traffic incident which occurred at Lower Main Street, Letterkenny, shortly after 1 p.m. As a result, Lower Main Street has been closed to traffic and is likely to remain closed for a number of hours. Diversions are in place at Oliver Plunkett Road and Old Town Road. There are no further details. The head of the Banking and Payments Federation of Ireland has told a meeting of Donegal County Council's Defective Blocks Committee that banks have a duty of care to their customers, and one of those is not to lend money to people who don't have the capacity to repay. Brian Hayes said that is why a working group is working at a national level to identify funding streams and early payment options to allow more people to come onto the remediation scheme. On the IS 465 standard, he said it is critical that amendments currently being discussed by a National Standards Authority of Ireland are such that issues affecting mortgageability and saleability are addressed. Government ministers have been criticised for failing to repay money owed to revenue. 10 current ministers have yet to refund the state for money they were paid due to a clerical error. 39 former ministers were also impacted, with 17 of those yet to make the repayments. Sinn Féin's Piers Doherty says 7 months on from the revelations, these figures are not acceptable. And police in Derry have now made three arrests as part of investigations into a serious assault on a man in Derry on 29th of August 2025. A 44-year-old man has been arrested on suspicion of assault, occasioning actual bodily harm during a planned arrest and search operation in the city today, and remains in police custody at this time. That is all from the newsroom for now. Our next bulletin will be at 7 o'clock, and Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore will follow this evening's obituary notices. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, January 15th. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Betty Hay, née McIlwain, Ards, Chrysla. Her remains will be reposing at her late residence from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. today and tomorrow. Funeral service in St John's Church, Ballymore, on Saturday at 2 p.m. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or James Harkin Funeral Director, Chrysla. The death has occurred of Anne Doherty, Cort Fad, Clonmany. Her remains will be reposing at her home today, where everyone is welcome to pay their respects. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 a.m, going to St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to St Columbkill's Village, Clea, Clonmany, care of any family member or McFeely Funeral Director. Anne's funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Denise Egan Doerr, 2 Mary Street, Glynn, County Limerick, and formerly of the Post Office, Ardra, reposing in the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Glynn, tomorrow evening from 4:30 until 7 p.m. Requiem Mass there on Saturday at 12 noon, followed by burial in the adjoining church cemetery. House strictly private, please. Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Vivian Holt, Gorey, Mallin. Vivian's remains will repose at her home tomorrow from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Funeral service on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock in Clonka Parish Church, Mallin Town, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Flowers are welcome, or donations in lieu, if desired, to RNLI, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Eilish McGinley, Brighton, and formerly of Lochmalt Brookless. Funeral Mass was held in Brighton on Thursday last. A memorial Mass will be held for Eilish in the Church of St Joseph and St Connell Brookless on Saturday morning at 11 a.m, followed by interment of ashes in the family plot. Donations in lieu of flowers to the MSA Trust, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Anne Doohan, née Freel, of Broomhall, Pennsylvania, formerly of Gortnalara, Termin. Relatives and friends are invited to honour Anne at a viewing on Friday at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. in St Pius X Church, Broomhall, followed by a funeral mass commencing at 10 a.m. to be streamed live. Interment thereafter at SS Peter and Paul Cemetery, Springfield, Pennsylvania. In lieu of flowers, contributions in Anne's memory to National Centre Padre Pio. The death has occurred of Liam Rorty, Kilross, Stranorler. Remains are reposing at his home today until rosary at 9 p.m. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:20 a.m. for Requiem Mass at 11 a.m. in Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on churchservices.tv. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to the Patients' Comfort Fund, Archview Lodge Nursing Home, Letterkenny, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Edward McGettigan, Kilconnell Glebe, Kilmacrennan, reposing at his late residence until 10 o'clock this evening. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. in St Columbus Church, Kilmacrennan, with family time, please, before the funeral. Parking is available at the car park opposite the Thatch Cottage, Kilmacrennan. A shuttle bus will operate to and from the wake. The death has taken place in Woodside, New York, of Caroline McGinley, originally of Derry Beg with Door. Her remains are reposing at Rorty's Funeral Home, Derry Beg, today until rosary at 8 p.m. Removal after the rosary to the family home, which is private to family and friends only, please. Funeral Mass will be on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. in St Columbkill's Church, Crookfalla. Burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page and on the church webcam. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybofey and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit Unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up shortly, we'll have news about getting renewed access for Irish beef to the Chinese market and also calls for cap payments to be targeted directly at active farmers. But first, Adrian Gallagher, the Donegal-based IFA National Sheep Committee Chair, is calling on sheep factories to reflect what he says is the reality of the marketplace. Tight supplies and firm demand for sheep meat are driving the trade in our key export markets. And he said that lamb prices in the UK have increased by over 20 pence a kilo since before Christmas and are currently the equivalent of €8.77 a kilo, with French prices actually approaching €10 a kilo. In a statement this week, Mr. Gallagher pointed out that there is almost an 80 cent a kilo of a difference between our price and that in the UK. He also noted that Ramadan commences in the middle of February this year, which will increase demand for sheep meat at a time when supplies will be extremely tight. The Chinese market is set to reopen to Irish beef after suspension dating back to October 2024. It's a big boost to the beef export sector. And to tell me more, I'm joined by Noel Bardon, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. And Noel, this reopening of China effectively offers renewed opportunities for Irish beef exporters. So it's a good news story.
Yeah, and I suppose on the beef side of the house, as well as the agri-food sector in general, I suppose the Department of Agriculture's strategy is no longer focused on increasing volumes. It's looking to increase, I suppose, the value added to the goods that we do produce. So what that means for beef is that it now has access to another market, China, where I suppose there is hopes that some volumes of Irish beef will go to occupy, I suppose, the higher end of the market over there, the premium markets. China had been open to Irish beef just leading up to October 2024, when imports were temporarily suspended. And it was just Monday that government got confirmation from China that the market was now reopened. Now, I suppose beef access to China, China is seen as one of the big ones, I suppose, to have access to, just purely because of the size of the market and the population of the country. But I suppose in terms of actual Irish beef exports, when we had access previously, I suppose there would have been some who would have thought that we weren't getting that much volume out there, I suppose, just again because of the size of the market. And I suppose the access to China, it has taken on a bit of a renewed importance, I suppose you could say, when the Chinese government just 2 weeks ago announced that there would be quotas and tariffs placed on, I suppose, the main countries it would import from, so the likes of Australia, New Zealand, etc., and South American countries. So the thinking is that whilst the majority of China's beef imports are still going to be sourced from the countries that it's already importing from, if they do reach their quotas that have been set and there are tariffs applied at a rate of 45%, maybe it'll make Irish beef imports more attractive to Chinese businesses, I suppose, who are looking to source beef. And the access, it came just 1 week after Taoiseach Micheál Martin was over in China, and he met with some senior Chinese officials, right up to the president, Xi Jinping, as well as the country's premier. And what Micheál Martin had to say about the renewed access is that it reflected the confidence that the Chinese authorities have in the robustness, transparency and effectiveness of the animal health and traceability standards that we do have in Ireland.
And the C-Board B is going to be having a promotional campaign and, I suppose, targeting people with reasonable incomes over there and informing them of the quality and the fact that it's a premium product.
Yeah, so there would have been promotional activities in place, as I said, up until beef exports from Ireland to China were suspended in October. And essentially, Bord Bia has said it's going to take these promotional activities off pause. And it's planning to do that in just around a month's time, which is when the Chinese New Year is to kick off. Now, the Chinese New Year, it's not necessarily just a single date, as we'd have the New Year in Ireland. It's, you know, a couple of weeks of festivities. So they're hoping there that they'll be able to target different campaigns, both at Chinese consumers. And as well as that, they're talking about kind of ramping up the engagement that they're having with beef importers in China and with kind of the food sector as well.
Now, Noel, just while we have you on, the IFA President Francie Gorman's been talking about the next round of CAP payments and has been critical of what have been termed armchair landowners. So what's his bone of contention here?
Yeah, so these were comments from Francie Gorman at the IFA's AGM, which was on Tuesday. And Francie did say that the IFA is still kind of working out its exact positions on what sort of schemes it wants in place from 2028 onwards when the current cap expires. But he said one thing is for sure, even though the details have to be ironed out, that the IFA is unanimous that it wants payments targeted towards active farmers. And I suppose when he said active farmers, he said that specifically they want to see systems put in place that will ensure that the farmer on the ground, the farmer who's going out checking up on cattle, feeding sheep, who's sowing tillage crops, milking cows, whatever, that they do want to see these as being the ones who are benefiting from the schemes that are in place rather than people who own land and are leasing it out. And he said that that's looking like one of their major priorities, that they want these payments going to active farmers irrespective of where they might be in the country, what scale they're at, or what kind of farming intensity they're at. But he said that these armchair farmers, really they shouldn't be getting any funding from the CAP, even if they own the land, but if they are not farming it themselves, that there should be provisions put in place to ensure that the funding doesn't end up going to them.
And that was Noel Barden, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. Now, as many of you know, the Mercosur deal now rests with the European Parliament, and this will continue to be covered in our news bulletins, and we will certainly watch with interest. Just time for some other farming news, and James Gallagher, a sheep farmer from Kinloch in Leitrim, has been elected as the chair of the IFA Hill Farming Committee. He succeeds Colleen Connealy. And meanwhile, Jason O'Leary, a potato grower from Blackwater in County Wexford, has been elected chair of the IFA National Potato Committee and takes over from Sean Ryan. Landowners, schools and community groups are being reminded that the deadline for applications for what is known as the Hare's Corner is this Sunday, January the 18th. Now, this biodiversity initiative is being delivered in 9 counties across the country, including Donegal. Applications will be accepted until the 18th of January for support in the creation of things like wildlife ponds, mini woodlands, hedgerows, mini orchards and plans for nature. And the project, well, it takes its name from the old farming expression for an awkward section of a field which was not intensively farmed and which was left to nature. Finally, just to let you know, Teagasc has the second of its dairy breeding events in the county on this evening, with the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny being the venue for that, and that's at 7:30. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.